This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, you can listen to The Takeaway anytime by subscribing to our podcast. You can find that on our website, thetakeaway.org, or on iTunes.
You know what that music is, the opening beats of Billie Jean. This morning, millions of people around the world mourn the death of the king of pop, Michael Jackson, dead at 50. The life and times of a thriller, it's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Friday, June 26th. I'm Catherine Lanford. We're going through Michael Jackson's legacy, his life, and his music. And we're going to start off with Chuck D of the seminal hip-hop group Public Enemy. Good morning, Chuck. Tell us how you see Michael's musical legacy.
First of all, when a person wants to talk about the legacy of music here, when they say Sinatra or Elvis or anybody else, they got to include Michael Jackson in it. He is just, you know, and also internationally resonant. So, that.
Chuck, that's great. Stick around. We want to hear a lot more from you. That's more from Chuck D on Michael Jackson in just a few minutes. We're also going to go to Gary, Indiana, and Tehran, Iran. More of all of this. But first, these headlines. In Iraq, more than a dozen are dead after an explosion in a Baghdad market today. It's part of an uptick in violence ahead of next week's deadline for U.S. troops to leave urban areas. Iran's Guardian Council, which is the country's most influential political body and which oversees elections, now says the June 12th election was the fairest Iran has ever held. The opposition continues to say the vote was rigged. Today at the White House, the president meets with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Iran, of course, tops their agenda. Later today, the White House is going to announce a new advisor on domestic violence. A conference starts today in the Czech Republic on Jewish properties stolen by the Nazis. Representatives of some 50 countries will look at how looted items can be returned to their rightful owners. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow and the S&P were both up about 2%. The Dow opens at 84.72, and the S&P starts trading at 9.20. The Nasdaq opens at 18.29. Now, the king of pop is dead, but we'd like to hear what Michael Jackson means to you. What's the first Michael Jackson song you've ever heard? It's okay. You can go ahead and you can sing this to us. What's his legacy? What should the world remember? What is the racial legacy that we are left with? We, of course, remember the plastic surgeries, the lightening of his skin color, all of the talk on that. There was also, of course, the great music, getting his debut at the Apollo Theater in 1969, his first time there at the Apollo. We want to know what your memories are. We know that you have them. You can go ahead and call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's 877-869-8253. Or go ahead and write us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. We're going to go out now and listen to some more of the King of Pop, Michael Jackson. Never can.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
The song that started it all, for the Jackson 5 anyway, I Want You Back from 1969. I'm Catherine Lamford in for John Hockenberry, who's away. There's no getting back the king of pop, however. Michael Jackson is dead at 50 after suffering a cardiac arrest at his house in Los Angeles. His career spanned 40 years. It took in Motown and MTV, R&B and dance videos, a duet with the Beatles, and the moonwalk. It also included such tabloid curiosities as his plastic surgeries, his ranch Neverland in Southern California, and the allegations of child molestations, of which he was acquitted. We're going to remember now the King of Pop in his entirety. We're going to go from Chuck D with the seminal hip-hop group Public Enemy, also Brian Raftery, a contributing writer for Spin Magazine. And, of course, last but not least, we're going to go to Farai Chidea. She is a journalist, novelist, and a friend here at The Takeaway. But, Chuck D, we're gonna go back to you. Where were you when you first heard that Michael Jackson had died? What was your first reaction?
Well, I actually was in flight going from New York to L.A., and right in the middle of the flight, I saw breaking news on the TV sets. And, you know, these flights now, you get online, so I was on Wi-Fi at the same time. So, ironically, I was landing in the same place that all the frenzy was happening with Michael Jackson, UCLA. And I was like, matter of fact, going up to Ventura, California, where I stay, I made sure that I wouldn't take the 405, take the 1 to avoid all the traffic that was building up as is and around UCLA. So, I mean, it was kind of shocking.
How would you say that Michael Jackson has influenced you?
Well, he's been there along the soundtrack of my life, you know. I mean, I was in fourth grade when that record came out, and it set fire with all the, especially young girls at the time with the Jackson 5. And yesterday when I talked to some journalists, they asked me to name three records, which is hard to do over a 40-year period of music of Michael Jackson. But I immediately said, Got to Be There, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, and Rock With You, just three different records from three different type of sonic environments that Michael Jackson was able to give us. And you know, I tell you, the shock to white America a while ago is when I told people, I said, hey, man, a lot of my catalog goes before, you know, when America started finding out about Michael Jackson. And that was as the Jackson 5 and then the Jacksons produced by Gamble and Huff. And then, you know, when most of America really caught Michael Jackson craziness, it was a Thriller. But, you know, I've been kind of like acclimated to Michael Jackson growing up as a kid.
And we're going to go now to Farai Chidea, who might have been one of those young girls who were so sweet on Michael Jackson. Farai?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm sorry I can't always hear you 100% well because I am in an airport. And I found out about Michael Jackson when I was on a train yesterday coming into Philadelphia. Now I'm leaving. And it was interesting because it was like one of those Twitter moments where everyone was like, yes, we heard he's sick. No, he's dead. No, he's not dead. No one's confirmed it. And eventually things sorted themselves out into something that looked like the truth, which made us all very sad. And then people just started playing a lot of records and coming up with their favorite songs. But yes, he was someone, you know, one of the comments I saw last night on Twitter was that the reporter Lisa Ling said, R.I.P. Michael Jackson, my first boyfriend. And I think that could have been a lot of people. You know, I was someone who had a huge crush on Michael because he just seemed like, you know, he was a man, you know? And it's just so many layers of tragedy that have
Now, Farai, I know that you
on his life and through his life.
You talked about layers of tragedy. I know that you have been tweeting about this. Talk about a race as a conundrum for Michael Jackson.
I think that this is a country of self-reinvention, but you always pay a price, no matter what you do. You know, we're used to reinvention of, you know, the pauper becoming the millionaire, the fat girl getting thin, people changing their nose and their accent. It, you know, but Michael, I think what strikes me is that I don't know what Michael would have been if he could have been anything. he's so clearly had some kind of dysmorphic relationship to his body. He was literally not comfortable in his skin. He didn't seem to find that space where he was who he was. And yet, you know, regardless of whatever else may have played into his decision, there was a lot of racial chit-chat and, you know, wailing and gnashing of teeth because they said, how could this cute young black boy essentially want to look as different as possible from what his body was telling him to look like?
I want to make sure that we get Chuck D responding to this as well. Chuck?
Yeah, I think Faraz is right. And also, as a black man, I just feel like, you know, the mess of multimedia coverage over the last 15 to 20 years has just been a bunch of crap to me. And yesterday was a sad and a bad day for me because I think Michael Jackson died of a broken heart and a broken soul. And the same fame that he thrived on, that these boardrooms create, I think he felt chained to it, and it was... I think it was painful, and I don't think, you know, the thing is the hypocrisy of this country is that now fame means it's the worst side of you would get the most coverage, and it's kind of like, you know, haunting that these record companies wouldn't give them the light of the day, or these radio stations wouldn't give them the light of the day over the last couple of years, but when he dies, now everybody's on his jock, so to speak. And makes me angry because in the end, no matter how much he messed with himself or his appearance, which to me, you know, didn't mean anything to anybody when it came down to him wanting to entertain and just make people have a good time. You know, I just thought all that was irrelevant. And now you see all these areas of multimedia praising him and jocking him. But once again, you know, as a black man dead, you know, it's just convenient for American media and much for the people that live in it. So I feel kind of crappy about the hypocrisy of this country and its coverage.
Brian Raftery, I want to turn to you, a contributing writer for Spin magazine. Put the death of Michael Jackson in context for us. Yeah, the Beatles, Elvis, where does it fit?
Kind of a little bit of everything. I mean, what's really amazing about Michael Jackson is that if you were to take even just one song from his career, if he'd only had Thriller with the video, if he'd only had Billie Jean with the bass line, you know, if he'd only had Wanna Be Starting Something with, you know, the sort of big chant at the end, those all would have been, are all landmark pop records. And the fact is, when you start talking about Michael Jackson's legacy, you could go for hours, if not days, in every single medium. I mean, film, music, TV, in terms of just what it meant to be a celebrity, how celebrity culture changed along with Michael Jackson, possibly because of Michael Jackson. I mean, it's fascinating. He was in every single part of American culture in terms of the whole spectrum of good and bad, of how you can sort of bring yourself into the world of music and then take it beyond it.
Well, then, going back to Farai and Chuck D, Farai, given all of this, how should he be remembered? No, Farai, okay, Farai, we was reaching us from, I believe, an airport in Philadelphia. We're going to go back to Chuck D. Chuck D, given what you were saying, if you could mastermind how Michael Jackson's going to be remembered, what should we remember? What should we hold on to?
That he's the greatest entertainer of all time, of our later times, and I just think that if everybody's going to spend time worrying about, you know, like, Elvis, should we have the good-looking 1956 style Elvis? And they never hardly talk about the 1972 drug-infested Elvis. I think you got to talk about Michael Jackson without talking about all those 90-ish nightmarish cases that you know, everybody seemed to think of him as. And, you know, I think of Michael Jackson as a brilliant artist and entertainer, and all those other issues about the plastic surgery or the child molestation, they're irrelevant to me.
Okay. Chuck D, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Chuck D with the Public Enemy, seminal hip-hop group. We also heard from Farai Chidea, friend of The Takeaway, journalist and novelist. So we're going to stick around with Brian Raftery, contributing writer for Spin, talking about Michael Jackson.
can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.